Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Primetime on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
That's going to make the full difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is our second to last Football Friday, but we're talking basketball. So I looked it up here, and because somebody texted the fan text line and said ever since they've had Damian Lillard, they've never been good defensively. And that's just not true.
No. In fact, Lillard, and I'll give Lillard credit for this, he used to be a bad defender. And I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that he's a great defender.
He was, like, really bad.
He was bad. He wasn't Trae Young bad, but, like, if you watch, he is the, Trae Young is the worst defender in the NBA. Like, but like you look up all the advanced metrics at any position, he plays none. Lillard was never that, but he was a bad defender. Lillard has made himself a much, much better defender, especially considering the fact that he has to carry such an offensive burden. Well, I don't think he is considered a poor defender anymore.
I would say he's perfectly average on defense now.
Yes.
Well, he can. Yeah. And there's a difference between one-on-one defense and team defense.
Yeah.
And he can D you up one-on-one. He's small. Like, look, when you have, this is what some people were saying right at the outset. When you pair Lillard with McCollum, if you really want the big prize of a championship, you're already setting yourself back some. Not to say they can't win it, but
it's harder.
It's harder because your guards are undersized and they're not long. You need length out front. So here, I just looked it up in the interest of accuracy. This is with Lillard. Mm-hmm. Here are the defensive efficiency rankings for the Trailblazers, for the whole team.
Okay.
This year, they're 26th. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Looks like they're not even trying. Last year, West Finals, the best team that they had in terms of their playoff success, that team was 16th.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know we've talked about this. One year, you tracked it the entire way, and there was a good hunk of the season they were playing top 12, top 13.
Yeah, so they were 16th last year. The year before, they were 6th, and that was the year they went in and got smoked by the Pelicans.
Yeah.
How about that? Mm. So they haven't always been bad defensively. It's different year to year. The year before that was the year they got swept by Golden State in the first round. That team wasn't very good. They snuck into the playoffs. I think that's when Nurk came back and they kind of got hot.
The team was going nowhere. They did the Mason Plumlee model and he gave him a shot in the arm. We had Nurk fever.
Should have tanked. Could have had Jason Tatum, but yeah. I'll just leave that leave that alone. 22nd in defense that year. So they weren't very good. Yeah. Year before that, they were 19th. That was a team that went to the West semis. That was the Clippers series. Remember they beat the Clippers?
Where the Clippers got hurt, right? Griffin and Paul both got hurt.
And they went and lost to the Warriors in the next round, but they were 19th. The year before that, they were 9th. And that was the year that Wesley Matthews got hurt, remember? And they crumbled in the first round. They lost to Memphis.
And that broke up that team, right? He tore his Achilles, and then after it, everything kind of got torn down.
And then the year before that, they were 16th. The year before that, this was Damian Lillard's rookie year. They were 25th. So they've had 2 out of 8 seasons where they've been a top 10 defense. But the one year where they were 16th, they still made the West Finals.
Sure.
And I also think it's worth noting that defense has gotten harder in the NBA, and it is a sliding scale of what is good defense now because offenses are so good and they're shooting the three so well. It's just tougher to defend, but I think it's all relative to your competition, right?
Agreed.
So that's why their rank against the rest of the league, I think, is an accurate way to look at them. So they go back and forth.
Well, and
defensively.
Exactly. So
this iteration is awful.
It's atrocious, but you're right in that it's a lazy narrative to just say they've never been good defensively or that Stotts can't coach defense. But to be fair, it hasn't always been a great defensive roster. There are going to be some limitations. Like the fact that you had a couple of those top 10 teams or even in the, you know, the teens, when you have two guards that are undersized, you know, that's still an impressive, that's still an impressive ranking, because you're not super long. You're not super rangy. You haven't always had a true difference maker in the middle, a shot blocker that can erase things. It's not like you've got Gobert or like an all NBA guy parked in there. So I think you have to, I don't know, you have to also work a sliding scale in what you have to work with.
So do you agree with Chuck and Kenny about this new age? They were talking last night on TNT during the Blazers Mavs halftime about how it's like you give up 120 points a night, and it's just, they were kind of lamenting the lack of D. I don't know. I mean, they tied an NBA record for three-pointers made last night. It was an exciting game, but they don't always look like that.
Sure. Last night was an exciting game, but I do tend to agree with them. Rick Bucher was on with Dirt and Sprague, and he was talking about this. They were asking just the other day. They were talking to him about ratings and why ratings are down. And
Are the NBA ratings down?
Yeah, they're down significantly.
And, with LeBron in L.A., huh?
Yeah.
Kawhi's in L.A.
And he pointed out that there wasn't a bell cow. There wasn't a real bully to
LeBron, Lakers,
but even
Kawhi?
That's not viewed as, neither one of those teams right now are viewed as some sort of juggernaut team. He was talking about, you know, like a dynasty type team. He said for better or worse, you can like him or hate him, Golden State was great for the league, right?
Yeah.
Those sorts of teams are when LeBron was in, you know, Miami. And he said that, you know, even LeBron in L.A. or Kawhi in L.A. doesn't have the juice. Giannis out in Milwaukee doesn't have the juice. None of the Boston teams are really generating a lot of buzz, or Toronto last year didn't have it. And so he said that, and then he brought up the style of play. And he was saying that while you can get some entertaining games, and this is where I tend to really agree with him, the poetry and the beauty of basketball, of team ball and ball movement, what we grew up with watching, you know, the Showtime Lakers or Terry Porter and Clyde running around in Portland and some of those teams. And Golden State had this. You can hate Golden State. They were so much freaking fun to watch when that offense was humming and they were moving the ball. And you don't see a lot of that in the NBA anymore. You just don't. And there is some really, really tough watches.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the Spurs and Warriors, the two best teams that we've watched over the last, I don't know, however many years.
Sure.
Their hallmarks, both of those teams' hallmarks, was sharing the ball. Yep. And passing and playing and moving and playing as a team on offense. And yet, it's so hard to get NBA teams to do it. It fascinates me.
And you know what both of those
teams are the two most successful teams we've seen.
And you know what both of those teams had, which I think is also really fun to watch? I loved when Golden State played lockdown defense. When they got going and their defense led to quick outs and they were running the break and Draymond's out there blocking shots and running down things, that was so much fun. Even LeBron, right? When LeBron goes down, gets a big block and then leads the break going the other way. Those teams that win NBA titles, certainly Toronto had this last year. Man, when the playoff intensity cranks up and you watch a team really play defense and put the screws to someone, that is fun to watch. And again, that's team basketball. And I do think that it's a little bit of a dying breed, but in the playoffs, I do think it gets better. But in the regular season, 82 games, it's bad.
I would say it this way. I don't mind it as long as if you're putting up this offensive production against pretty good defense.
Yeah.
That's great. That's like that Chiefs-Rams game we watched, not this last year, but the year before.
Yeah.
It's like, it was a really high-scoring game in the 50s, but I remember coming back and talking about that the next day on the show, because I think that was a Thursday night game, and you and I were talking about it, and you were like, you know, that wasn't bad defense. Like, those teams were, they had a lot of players on defense making plays and getting sacks and creating turnovers.
Niners this year.
Yeah.
It's like 45-42. Yeah.
But the defenses were playing great. Yeah. They just
couldn't stop anyone.
And so that I buy. Yeah. But if it's this Ole defense of like we saw last night, it's really, really hard to watch.
And it, you know, both teams hit a ridiculous amount of threes at a nice percentage, but telling you, I like watching Houston play at times, but if you flip on Houston and it is a off night for Westbrook or Harden, that is one of the hardest teams in the NBA to watch.
Well,
and it's dependent on whether shots are going down.
Okay, one more segment, because I want to talk about Doncic. Or is it Doncic?
Let's go with Luka.
Or is it Doncic?
It bothers me that he's number 77.
Dude, that guy's badass.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, we'll get to that, wrap this up next, and then in the news on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
A couple of texts with Nurkic and Collins hurt. Probably the Blazers' two best defenders out. Didn't you expect the defense to suck? Well, yeah, again, I'm not expecting the defense to be good. I'm expecting them to try not to suck. Let me be clear about this. Nobody thinks the Blazers should be top four in the West right now.
No.
They're too depleted. They're too fragmented. They've had guys come and go. Totally get that. No one's expecting them to be top 10 in defense. But what we are expecting, what I think you should expect, is them to try not to suck on defense. I don't know if you watched them last night. They aren't even trying, man. Yeah. It's bad.
Well, and Nurkic and Collins aren't necessarily going to solve all your problems out at the three-point line, which is... been an issue.
Well, like I said,
the entire year.
They're 16th last year in defense, and that team made the West Finals. It's not like it's the end all to be all. It's just frustrating. Look, the Mavericks. We've only got a few more minutes on this topic, and then we're going to go to in the news, and then I want to talk about the Aaron Hernandez doc, and then Joe Harrington's going to come in here. It's a busy day.
Yeah, lot to get to.
But I think I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Okay.
You're about to take a dump on something.
No.
You're about to go all Colin,
no.
Are you?
No, I'm going to be...
You want to hate on Baker Mayfield?
I'm going to be pro-tank guy because I feel like it needs to be pointed out that the Trailblazers are 3.5 games from a top five, from top five draft odds.
They are 8 games right below 500 at this point.
Now, as bad as they are, they may get there all on their own. They may get there by trying.
Nah, Nurk and Collins are going to come back and CGO come back. This thing's going to turn around. Not the, any sort of great success, but I do think when they come back, it's going to get better.
But following last night's game, I think it's an appropriate time to again say that tanking can work.
Yep.
And Dallas did it. And Dallas was open about it. And the result of their tank job was Luka Doncic. And that dude is freaking phenomenal.
Yep, he's the best young player, honestly, probably since LeBron James. He's amazing.
It took him 1 year. I mean, did anybody think that he would be this good?
No.
His second year? Dude, he's MVP caliber good.
He was great last year.
He's gotten better. It was his first year. Like, he is elite level in 2 years. Now, you don't always when you get a top five pick, and I think he was drafted, was he third?
I'll look up and see
where he was drafted. Now, you're not always going to get a Doncic, but if you want to get a Doncic, a difference maker type player, you need to be in that top five or six.
Yeah.
And the Blazers
Lillard
was six.
Yeah, he was six.
The Blazers are only 3.5 games from top five draft odds right now.
Doncic was the third pick.
He was third. Okay. So they went from Dirk to tank to Doncic, it can be done. And for those saying that it's not a winning attitude, well, actually, if you're really pissed about losing, it is the quickest way to potentially start winning. Now, again, it doesn't always work out. But in this instance, I just ask you.
What's the alternative? Like, what's the benefit?
Right. Yeah, if your season sucks no matter what, why do you want to pick 13th? And that's where the Blazers currently are. It's like a top five pick. It's proven. It's far better than 12, 13, whatever. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. And the Blazers are so close to it. Maybe they get there on their own, but you still have time, I think, with Damian Lillard at he's in his prime. I think you have time to put a good rookie out there. Like I said, it doesn't take that long for a rookie, for a good one. You make the right pick, you can change the game. And that's including you already have a pretty good starting five coming back
next year.
Well,
that's kind of my point where I have wanted to do the tank thing once this season. You lose Nurkic for basically the year. Collins goes down. Hood goes down. You're terrible. I don't understand the point at this juncture to keep going. There is zero
benefit.
Well, you can get the 8 seed.
Exactly.
That is not a benefit.
I don't understand.
Well, to some people it is.
Like, I get it where teams like, I don't want to tank because I don't want to just be bad, right? You know, let's say a top five pick, you get a Trae Young. Atlanta is god-awful, right? I understand the idea if you tank, you can continue to be bad. This isn't that situation. Next year, when everyone is healthy, when Nurk is healthy, when Collins is healthy, you have one of the top six or seven players in the NBA in Damian Lillard. CJ is still a really nice piece. You can do something with Hassan Whiteside and hopefully trade for someone that you can control for two or three more years to add to it. Hood hopefully comes back at some point. So you're not adding a top five or top six players, a top six draft pick to an Atlanta Hawks or some awful team. You're adding it to a roster that you can look at and say that's a legit contender for a Western Conference Finals. So to me, the idea of tanking at some point can be a bit nauseating to people, but this instant, this isn't. This is one of those where Golden State's going to do this. Golden State is tanking right now, and next year they're going to hit the reset button, and they're going to have a healthy Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. They're going to probably move D'Angelo Russell, who's an all-star level player, to go out and get a long-term piece for them. Probably another all-star level player. It sounds like everyone says that Wiseman could be the guy they're targeting with a top three pick. They're going to add another dominant big in there and watch them sign in the offseason two, you know, role players to fill out their bench. And next year, Golden State will hit a reset button and go from being one of the worst teams to Golden State will be one of the top two or three teams in the West. And Portland, to me, has an opportunity to do that. And anyone that would be against that, I don't understand, especially when the season's already lost.
How many times has an eight seed beaten a one seed? Twice, right? Two or three times, maybe? In the history of the playoffs?
It's shocking. Well, there was some five game series.
Okay,
upsets.
So maybe in the seven game format, sure.
There have been some shocking ones. I remember the old Warriors with Baron Davis beat the Mavs.
That's one.
They beat Dirk. And then the Sonics,
one.
Back in the day. But wasn't that a five gamer? Or was that seven game?
It doesn't happen that often, right?
No, exactly.
So,
and you're not beating the Lakers. You're not beating the Clippers.
Right. So being the eighth seed is the worst thing you could do if you're in the NBA.
Yes.
You're stuck in the middle of the draft. You get slaughtered on national television on a daily basis. It's like, what is the benefit? There's no benefit at all.
Well, it sounds like we all agree. So maybe
they should hire us.
Well, maybe they will do this. I mean, they're in a window here where they could, I mean, they could do it and they don't even have to really change. I mean, they're
nope.
Like I said, they're only 3.5 games from a top five
When Nurk comes back, load management, right? Ease him back in.
No question.
Collins doesn't need to play for the rest of the year until maybe the final
trade 10
games and trade Whiteside, right?
Get Little out there, you know?
Sure.
Get Nassir Little out there.
Well, and get Gary out there, too. Roll him
out
there.
Gary.
Roll him out there for a while.
He can hit some threes.
Get Herzonia out there. He's
and
awful.
If any of them start playing him. If any of them start playing well, you rip their ass to the bench.
Little Mario's not going to start playing well, and he's back. He's got a player option, and you know damn well that he's going to exercise it, so he's back. And by the way, people asking, like the top five, top six, like mock drafts, it's the shooting guard that Anthony Edwards out of Georgia.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's going to be the number one pick.
He'll be the number one pick. He's like a 6'5", 6'6", shooting guard.
To the Warriors.
Wiseman is the center out of Memphis, although he's not in Memphis anymore. He's just preparing. And then LaMelo Ball. Like, people rave about him, saying he's killing it down in Australia.
Obi Toppin.
Yeah, he's the small forward, the combo guy, wing out of Dayton.
Watch him as we get near March Madness here. He's awesome.
And then the point guard, Nico, the Arizona, the redhead kid, the Pete and Pete.
Yeah, but I don't know if the Blazers, like,
no, I mean,
would,
just
with their guard. Well, I would say this. There's another guy, too. There's an Israeli guy who is a wing, small forward.
Denny Avdia or something or other. He's a 6'8 small forward from Israel. They've got him 6.
He gets compared to Luka.
Oh.
And so for those that's, you know, and then you're always getting, there are no difference makers in this draft.
There's a difference
you
maker
don't
in
know
every
that.
Draft.
You don't know that at all. So we all agree, no sense beating it to death, but hopefully the Blazers will recognize that maybe after the trade deadline. I think they're working right now to maybe work some trades and see if they can unload Whiteside. And who knows, maybe it will be full tank mode. They've done it before. Like, there is a precedent. Neil Olshey, one of his first years here, they did tank that,
yes.
But they did it way late in the year. They lost their last 13 or 14. The Marcus Aldridge sat down. And that ended up, you know who that got him?
I don't remember.
CJ McCollum.
Oh, well, that turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, and there's a couple of texts coming in like, oh, you really trust Portland to draft well?
Yes.
Actually, yes.
Yes.
Neil Olshey has had a couple of misses, but he is incredibly good in the draft. Well, and you got Damian Lillard out of the draft. You got CJ McCollum out of the draft.
Collins looks like hopefully he'll develop into something.
You got Anthony Simons in at like 26, and nobody thought he was going to be anything, and he looks really promising.
That, you know, tanking isn't going to help him stars just win championships. How do you get stars when you're Portland? You draft them.
Just
because
you
way.
Took Myers Leonard at 11 doesn't mean that you're bad at drafting. You're allowed to miss every once in a while.
Yeah, I guess. No, you're right. The one other thing about Dallas, too, that team is dangerous for years to come, because I don't know about you, I think that the pieces that they've put around, I don't know who their GM is. It's not Cuban.
No, I don't know who the GM, I'll look it up.
Whoever Dallas's GM has done a sneaky good job of putting pieces around Porzingis and Doncic. And I know they just lost Dwight Powell, but
oh, it's Donnie Nelson.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's Nelson's
Don
kid.
Nelson's kid. They're, I mean, I don't know about you. I think they all fit. What they're building there is really good, and they're only going to keep adding to it.
Yep. It's also not names you really know either.
Yeah.
You watch them play, you're like, who is this guy? And well, you're like, oh,
Hardaway was
good.
Was a great get. And, you know, they added Curry, and like I said, Dwight Powell just got hurt. But that team is...
And it's a young team that's going to continue to grow and build together.
And the other thing that's annoying about it is that's a team that you were way better than just a year or two ago.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, and here they go, leapfrogging you because they tanked.
Well, and then they went and got Porzingis.
Jeez. Yeah, Kristaps. Nice little trade.
Yeah.
Nice little trade.
Also helps that he would want to stay there as well.
Yeah.
Trading for him and him leaving would be bad.
Pairing those two white guys. By the way, did you hear Chuck Barkley talking about Doncic last night?
What did he say?
He said that, what did he say? He said he was like a small Larry Bird. And I was like, well, I don't know about anybody else that was listening to that. I don't think Doncic is that much smaller than Bird.
Crazy? Doncic is what, like 6'7"?
Bird was 6'8", 6'9"?
6'9".
He's not that much smaller. I mean, he made it sound like he's like a mini version of Bird. It's like, what?
Yeah, he's 6'7", 230.
And of course, you always got to compare the white guys.
Yeah,
you know, it's the only way to go.
It's the only way to do it.
All right, in the news, coming up next is Mike.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's the schedule. We will news it hard.
I'm ready to news.
We'll hot five at 5. Then we're going to talk with the Aaron Hernandez doc, 5:15. Then Joey Harrington will be in studio.
Did you know Aaron Hernandez was gay?
I did. Well, actually, I didn't. I actually didn't believe that part of the story, but if you watch the doc, it sounds like he was gay.
Yeah, they hit up on that pretty hard.
But we'll talk about that. And then the club. That's what we're going to do.
All right. Okay. Ready, break.
It is January 24th, 2020. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Now, I forgot to look up today's date, so.
What the?
Bear with me.
National what have you day.
Now, do you believe that Damian Lillard should have his own day in Portland? Because Ted Wheeler says he should.
I don't mind it. I don't know if it's required, but. You know, if you want to have a Damian Lillard day, I'm not opposed
to
it.
Well, do we need to draw a line here? Who does get a day? Who doesn't get a day? Is Lillard in the who does or who doesn't camp?
I think we should wait until he either A, wins an NBA title, or B, retires, and then give him a day. I mean, he's great. I love Damian Lillard. I don't know if you need a day right now. But again, if they made one, I would understand. I'd take a two thumbs meh right now on the Damian Lillard day.
Mm.
But eventually give him one.
Okay.
I could see, like, you know, if he retires here and, like, he plays out his career, plays till he's 35, retires here in Portland, I could see, you know, they got Drexler Drive. Name a street after him, right? Key to the City sort of thing. Have a Lillard day. Sure. I'm on board.
Yeah, that's what Wheeler said the other day. He said Damian Lillard deserves his own day after making history. That's when he scored 61.
Yeah.
And he said, we'll make that happen. Hashtag Damian Lillard day.
Okay.
Look at Wheeler.
Hashtag Dame time.
Love that. It is National Peanut Butter Day.
Okay.
I hate peanut butter.
Oh, hell yeah.
You really hate peanut butter?
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's like my favorite thing of all time.
It's a texture thing. It's too goopy.
Yeah.
Like too sticky, you know?
I've switched over to the natural peanut butter, which It gives you some of the peanut butter satisfying, but without like the sugar and all that. And
it's nowhere near as good.
It's nowhere near as good, but regular peanut butter is probably like one of the worst things you can have, so I try to avoid it.
But it's also delightful.
It is.
Now, Jeremy Christian is the psychopath who...
Yeah, he stabbed all the people.
Killed two people on the MAX train, and the third was stabbed, but he lived. You remember that story. We talked a lot about that. That was a hot topic.
Yeah, he was harassing the two gals and was dropping ethnic slurs on him, and then some guys tried to intervene, and he went all stabby on him.
Well, next week, his trial begins. He is defiant.
Yeah, do we really? It's like...
Well, listen, man.
How long is that going to take?
Dude, listen to this. That is not a slam dunk. It is not a slam dunk.
No?
No, it isn't. And there are several reasons why. This is from Portland Tribune. Despite video and many witnesses, the outcome of the trial over the 2017 light rail stabbing is not a slam dunk. Basically, what they're saying is an opening arguments will begin next week.
Are they trying to do a mental competence thing?
The trial is likely to be the most closely watched in Oregon in a decade or more, but despite a deluge of media coverage over the last 32 months and the existence of video showing Christian stabbing three men, legal observers with both defense and prosecution leanings told the Portland Tribune it could get more interesting than many expect, and it could include a few surprises. Court documents in court proceedings and reporting that have come out so far have mapped out the basic outlines of what happened. Christian has a past history of racist rhetoric. The police have dealt with him many times.
Quantity.
And he said hateful things to some bystanders, two girls who were sitting there. One was African-American, one was Somali. And three men interjected. He stabs two. Stabs three, two die, one lives. It is all on video. Defense lawyer George Scholl and Dean Smith have contended both publicly and in court that the popular portrayals of the case have misleadingly left out key details. Neither the defense or the prosecution are granting interviews, but several observers told the Portland Tribune that given the legal landscape and the arguments the defense team seems to be preparing, the outcome is not a foregone conclusion. It is very complicated. There's a lot going on. One thing is clear. He won't get the death sentence because sentencing laws here in Oregon, that will not happen.
Okay.
Also unlikely, they said, is that Christian will plead guilty but insane. He said he's not guilty, and many have speculated that he may be seeking to use the trial as a forum to speak his mind. That likely leaves his lawyers just two arguments. First, he was acting in self-defense, and second, that he has a diminished mental capacity to form the required level of intent to support a conviction for murder. And these arguments are significant because basically what they're saying is when you are not right of mind, how do you determine what is self-defense? And that's what they're going to argue.
I think this is a load of crap, and I bet you that they deliberate for less than a day before throwing this guy away. You remember, you're going to get 12 people from Portland. They're going to sit in that, and you're going to tell me on tape and no one, by the way, assaulted him. They confronted him, told him to stop. He produces a knife and starts swinging. And it's on video, and his past being of his racist rhetoric, you can say all you want that this thing isn't a slam dunk. That this thing will take no time at all, and he will be in prison for the rest of his life.
Well, he seems to me, because, you know, I'm a judge.
Yeah.
Honorable I. Everett Rupp maintains that if that guy gets out, it is bad news because he is not stable.
No. He has.
He needs to stay behind bars. But
he's done
everybody deserves a right to a trial, and it's all about attorneys, man. I'm telling you. Look, dude, these attorneys are saying, and here's what it is. This judge in Multnomah County said this. Under case law, a claim of self-defense makes that hurdle. The prosecution already faces the hurdle of proving beyond a reasonable doubt that he intended to murder all three men. But under case law, a claim of self-defense makes that hurdle even higher. So this judge in Multnomah County rules that the defendant's lawyers are allowed to make a self-defense argument. The burden of proof then shifts to the prosecutors, who must prove not only that it's unlikely the defendant was acting in self-defense, but it's false beyond a reasonable doubt. So she puts it like this. The defendant doesn't have to prove that he acted in self-defense. The state has to prove that he didn't act in self-defense. And that changes That changes the paradigm.
And let me ask you this too. I'm assuming he just has a public defender as well.
I don't know.
I assume. Yeah. So you're going down. It's one thing when you get like who's the like Baez guy that got Casey Anthony off and he did the second Aaron Hernandez murder trial. Yeah, public defender. Good luck. Have fun. And I hope the son of a bee goes away for the rest of his life.
And here's another thing. And the defense may have material to work with, according to this. After the killings, the Portland Police Bureau grapevine was buzzing with the rumor that based on video of the incident that had been viewed by some officers, Christian might have fodder to assert a claim of self-defense. While no video has yet been played in court, the elements of that defense have been laid out in hearings and motions leading up to the trial.
Maybe one of the guys bumped him, pushed him, whatever, and then he took out the blade and started swinging.
Man, you never know. Well, they're doing jury right now, or they're trying to select a jury right now.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, too, because I was reading about that. They said that you don't have to know nothing about the case.
Oh,
like,
really?
There will be some jurors that know what happened, that know him, that have seen the news coverage of it.
They can be impartial.
And they can, yeah, I don't know how, I mean.
I couldn't be impartial.
To him, hell no.
No, I couldn't.
Now, here's the question. If you were in the jury pool,
this is
terrible, but if you were in the jury pool, would you fake it so that you could get onto the jury so that you could?
No, I would take it. When you're talking about a man's life and something like that, one, I don't want to be on that. I don't know how long it's going to take. I want nothing to do with it. But no, I would take that seriously. And I would be honest about it and be like, I don't think I can be impartial. Just no. But there are those that, you know, that do that. But I think that's why you have, you know, lawyers to try to weed those people out. But that is a thing where people try to actively get on these juries to sway one way or another.
The other thing about him is, you know, the judge, he said that he wants to wear his prison clothes.
Yeah.
He wants to wear his jumpsuit and not street clothes. And the judge was like, okay, are you sure? And he was like, yep.
Yeah.
Which obviously is not, I mean,
dude,
traditionally that's not good for you because.
No, you want to present yourself in the best possible way.
Yeah.
Throw away the key.
His quote is, if I wear civilian clothes, I'd be lying to the jury. I don't care how much time I spend in prison. All I care about is the public gets to see and hear what happened on that train. He's charged with first degree murder.
Yeah. Dude, there's just, the world is better off without some people, and I give you.
That one is a fascinating one, and we'll be following it here on In the News. Coming up next, kid falls down air vent.
I love that they took a photo of him afterwards, all covered in.
But he doesn't break character.
No, he's fine.
He's great.
Hey.
It's 4:48 on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
I believe I told you before how I was almost on a jury and then they kicked me out.
Yeah.
So I was in the jury box and they were weeding out a couple of more. And this guy was accused of stealing like a trailer. Some young white kid. And I think she was with the state. Trying to fry up the guy, and she said, right before she got to me, she said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how many of you have the sense to get out of the rain when it's raining? And 10 being the most sense. And then right before she asked me what I would say, she goes, you know what's surprising about this is I asked this to a lot of juries and nobody ever really says 10.
Really?
Yeah. And so she comes to me, I'm the first one up. And I said, 10.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you get out of the rain?
Well, that's what I thought. And I was going to say 10 the whole time.
Sure.
And then the next guy says, well, 7. And then the next guy says, well, yeah. I'm not a 1. I'm an idiot. And then, you know, you go on and so on. And then I get booted. She booted me. So she had the next pick to boot. And she booted me. Do you know why?
No.
I mean, I was walking out going, well, wait a minute.
What does that have to do with?
What happened there? And I deduced in my head that she booted me because she thought I was going to, I was coerced into saying 10.
Huh.
Right? Because she said
no one ever
says 10. And so once she said that, she said, if the next person says 10, they're out because that person can be coerced by the defense attorney.
Well, I'll be damned.
I mean, that's what I think.
Makes sense.
So she booted me, and I was kind of pissed about it.
I would. You wanted to be on it?
Totally. I am fascinated by.
You know, I've never been asked to be on jury duty.
Well, once you, but I got all the way.
No, so I've never even gotten the
summons.
It happened once when I was moving, and I moved from LeCenter because LeCenter uses Battleground Court. So when I called them and said, "Hey, I don't live there anymore. Do I need to do this?" And they're like, "No." It's the only I've never gotten.
Well, usually,
another-
what happens if you don't try to get out of it, which a lot of people do? What happens is the summons, you go sit in a big room with hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And you just wait for your number to be called. And chances are you'll sit there for as long as they need people for juries that day. And you'll probably go home. Hmm. Right? You'll just sit there. Yeah. You'll read all day, but you have to be there in case they call your number.
There you go home.
But my number was called early in the day, and I'm like, ooh. So then you're in the pool that could be selected for a jury. So then you go in and hear the specific case. And there's like 25 of them or whatever.
Yeah.
And they weed them out because people are like, I have a hair appointment or whatever. And people do this. And yeah, the judge gets pissed and it's great. It's fun to watch. And then I got into the final 12. But then they, you know, each lawyer gets,
yeah,
they go
you get
back
so
and forth.
So many picks where you get the.
And I got booted and I was pissed about that.
No. Never had the.
I was going to send that kid right to jail.
Never had the pleasure.
I knew he did it. I looked right in his eyes.
I got you.
Any whoosies, I was reading the questions that they were asking Jeremy, Christian jurors.
Yeah.
Some things like, if I throw a wiffle ball at you, are you allowed to pull out a 44 Magnum and blow my head off? That's a question they asked. These are questions they asked specific Jeremy Christian jurors.
My jeebus. Is anyone like, absolutely?
Well, apparently they all shook their heads no in unison. Juror A25 said it's not appropriate, or it's not proportionate.
Does seem a bit harsh.
It does not seem appropriate.
If you're asking me.
And A23 said it's not reasonable. Another one was, does anyone have a problem with someone wearing religious garb in public? And the whole group answered no. One juror said that that he had seen news footage of Christian yelling in court, and he'd come to the conclusion that he was racist. His juror number was A16. They said, it would be difficult for him to be impartial, much like you.
Yeah.
And, of course, the defense excused him from the proceedings.
See? I'd be gone.
Bye.
I'm gone.
Juror A2 said she knew of Micah Fletcher because he grew up in her neighborhood and his siblings had been over to her house to play with her siblings. She added, though, that she didn't think she'd ever spoken directly to him. She remained in the jury pool. Does saying something over and over again make it true? This is another question they asked all the jurors.
No.
Of course, no. Juror A13 was asked, everybody knows he did it, and we're just going to kind of rubber stamp this through. That isn't true, is it? And of course, juror A13 answered no.
Yeah.
And that woman said she's a believer in people. She was allowed to remain in the jury pool. Yeah. So those are just some of the questions.
It's odd. That
it's kind of an interesting process, man.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
especially if you got on a big one. Now, I would never want it to have been an OJ juror or whatever.
Oh,
but
yeah, months and months, right?
But it's like, I find it fascinating.
I don't know, man. Just to be honest with you, I had that idea of being, of someone's life being in my hands. No. Especially if I realize
why?
That it's,
you're
it's,
a smart guy. Like, you're,
exactly,
like why wouldn't you feel good about a person like you sitting there
because
as opposed to some of the schmucks they could
get
in there.
Well, that's my problem is I feel like I would look around and at some of the other jurors and just be like, man,
it's all on me.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't want it. Yeah. I don't.
A lot of people don't.
I don't
want
anything to do with that.
Comfortable with it. And last story here, Bill. A kid fell down an air vent. You know those little air vents like in the floor of your house?
Yeah, it wasn't a little one, though. It was like an older home, and so I saw the photo of the air vent. It's pretty significant. It wasn't like one of the
it's
little...
It's like the... Yeah, like it was an older
it's
home.
It's like an old Victorian home.
And they
home.
Have bigger
yeah.
vents. This little boy's... it was an 8-foot fall. How old is he? 10-month-old. He's a 10-month-old.
He's 10-month-old, and I saw that the mom came in, and everything was quiet, and her other son was like, what, 3?
Yeah.
And she was like, hey... Where's the little one? And he just pointed at the vent.
They were
like,
playing. Yeah.
He's like, down there. Which means the kid shoved the other one in there.
Probably.
I guarantee it.
But the baby fell 8 feet down the air vent and came out the other side just laying there.
Yeah, it was fine.
Didn't break character. And then the lady took a picture of him all dirty.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the photo I saw, like, he still's got all, like, the lint and dirt on. How about you wipe the kid up before you take a photo of him? Yeah, I guess the kid's fine. Tough kid. 8 feet.
He wasn't
fall.
Even... Didn't even cry.
Well, I'm guessing that you didn't, like, it was more of a slide, right? Like, maybe he's like, wee!
This is great.
He had a great time. Question is the kid's going to do it again? you gotta glue down those grates.
Check the air vent.
Yeah, check the air vents.
That's here in the news for the 24th of Jan. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 24.
Yeah, 24. All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is next. Joey Harrington in studio next hour. It is 4:59 on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.